If you didn't hear him, he's at the Children Are Dismissed for Children's Church, if you guys would like to head out. This is one of my favorite parts of the service. Look at these awesome kids. If you are new here, the kids go into the fellowship hall, which is right behind the sanctuary, if you'd like to pick them up after the service there. As Pastor Steve mentioned, we are continuing our Ten Commandments series. If you had guessed the theme of the music we've been singing today, it is, do not use the Lord's name in vain. So we're thinking about what it means to worship and to praise the name of Jesus and to truly hallow it, hallowed be your name in all aspects of our life. So our first scripture is Exodus 20, verse 7. You can hear a slightly different translation the way that NIV uses it. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Psalm 113, listen for the word, the name, over and over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord will be praised. The Lord is exalted over the nations, his glory in the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He praises the poor from the death, raises the poor from the dust, and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. And finally, turning over to Mark 9, this is in a dialogue with Jesus, and the disciple John says, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told them to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we do thank you and we praise you for your name. We praise you and thank you for your word that goes out. It is living and active. Lord, we pray that you would use your word to transform us this day, transforming the renewing of our minds. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would invigorate these words so that they change not only our thinking, but also our actions. Let us be hearers of the word and doers also. Lord, we lift all of this up. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week I went to a gathering called Pittsburgh Praise. It's a group of people that are trying to get different ministries and church leaders in the area together to pray for the city, to pray for revival. And it's always interesting for me to go into something like that. Bob Jameson knows everyone in town, and so he was able to introduce me to some people. But I always wonder sort of what do people think about our church when I tell them where I'm from? And it was really interesting because at the table that we were sitting at, there were only, I think, five of us at the table. Two of them said the same thing. "Oh, is that the church with Kingdom Kids?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, we love Kingdom Kids." And one of them had many children go through Kingdom Kids and their youngest is starting this fall. Another one had heard about our reputation and his oldest was about to start this fall. And it was so cool because when they said the name Kingdom Kids, it meant something way more than just a preschool. It meant a place where kids are loved and where they learn to love Jesus and learn that Jesus loves them. If that is our reputation, that we love preschoolers and teach them to love Jesus, I am cool with that. It was so neat that the name of Kingdom Kids brought light to their faces and that was the reputation that we have. And I'm so grateful for Marcia and her team of amazing teachers that they are able to create that environment and that name is well respected in our community. Think even more so about what the name of Jesus brings. How is the name of Jesus used in Christian culture? It's something we raise up. It's something that we sing to. But in the world outside of the church, And sometimes in our own mouths and in our own homes, the name of Jesus is a profanity. It is easy for people to just exclaim that name. Why do they exclaim that name and not the names of Muslim gods or Buddhist gods or Hindu gods? Why is the name of Jesus this both powerful as a thing of worship and something people desire to profane? God is very close. He's a jealous God with his name. He wants his name to be of high reputation. He wants people to think of the person behind the name, not just the name itself, not just the word. He wants us to bear that name with honor as well. As we look today at the third commandment, do not misuse the name of the Lord, we want to look at both our language and our behavior and how that relates to the name of God, and then the blessing that God gives us by calling us by his name. When we look at this passage, there were a lot of different translations of the way that they say, do not use the Lord's name in vain. We think of the word vain either as somebody who's puffed up or something that's frivolous, that's disposable, that is worthless and meaningless. Other translations talk about, like the NIV talks about, don't misuse the name. Another one says, don't use it for false purposes. Don't use the name of the Lord to make a promise that you can't keep or to use it as a lie. Don't use the name of the Lord, and one says, for idle purposes. Use it for important, weighty purposes, but not idle purposes. When you think about the name of God, where do we see God named? The most memorable, of course, is Moses in front of the burning bush. And God calls out to him from the burning bush, says, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. And he gives Moses these instructions, and Moses says, well, who may I say is calling? Who are you again? And what am I supposed to say? And God says, I am who I am. That is such a powerful statement. It is not, I was the God who did such and such. It's the present God. I am right now. I am who I am. I am, and nothing else needs to be said. It's such a powerful statement that when Jesus responded to one of the questions by the Sadducees about who he was, that he says, I am, and everyone in the room hit the dirt. There is power in the name I am. But God also reminds Moses and the people that he is a name that is attached to a character. It is a name that has promised to do things and has fulfilled those promises. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you hear Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know that God called Abraham a select people. He made promises to Abraham to bless the nations through him. He promised him a son in his old age, and Isaac was the result of that promise. Isaac, whose name is laughter because his mother couldn't believe that it was going to be true that she in her old age could have a son. And so she laughed and then named her son Laughter a year later. He is the God of Jacob, who had 12 sons, who are the 12 tribes of Israel. He is the God who raised Israel up out of Egypt, and he is the God who raised Israel, he raised Jesus from the dead. That is who God is. And when we call out to his name, he is not some generic God in the sky. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we call the name of Jesus, this is the one who came and lived a perfect life and died a death we should have died, and who was raised again from the dead on the third day. When we call out to the Holy Spirit, I had an interesting discussion the other night as we were training some of our new elders and deacons about calling the Holy Spirit with a personal pronoun. This person said, I don't usually think of the Holy Spirit as a he. And I said, well, at least think of the Holy Spirit as a who. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. It's not just a sense of things. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. My Old Testament professor said, don't think of them as two guys and a bird. The Holy Spirit is a powerful person of the Trinity who is the liaison between us and Jesus Christ and who points us to the Father. It's the Spirit is the one who draws us to Jesus, who is, enables us to come before the Father with great joy before the throne. As we think about God's character and what his name means, we begin to see why it is so important to the Lord that we not misuse his name, that we not take it for granted, that we do not casually use it. Our study guide made an interesting point. It says, when we use God's name carelessly, it doesn't mean that it shows that it doesn't mean that much to us. When we use it loosely or carelessly, we show that it doesn't mean that much to us. When we use the name of Jesus as a toss-away phrase, we're saying that we don't know him well. He's not a person to us. It's just a word. And we're dismissing the power in the name of Jesus and the character and the reputation of Jesus. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which we'll be saying a little bit later, it is interesting how it defines, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. It broadens the idea. It's not just the word. It says we are supposed to honor God's names, titles, qualities, regulations, word, and works. His name, titles, quality, regulations, word, and works. We're supposed to bring honor to God in all the ways that he reveals himself to humankind. It says that it forbids us to for treating as unholy or abusing anything God uses to make himself known. Anything God uses to make himself known. What does God use to make himself known? He uses us. He uses creation. He uses history. He uses all things to reveal himself. And when we dishonor his work, his hand at work in the world, we are using his name, his reputation, his character in vain. The Bible does talk specifically about language, how we use those words and how we are supposed to use God's name with honor and not flippantly or idly. Leviticus 19:12 says, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Don't make a promise and use the name of God and pretending like this is going to be prove that you're going to do the right thing, but not meaning to. The commentary I read, it said the prohibition could target behavior that is well aware of the power of the name and seeks to exploit it for personal gain or advantage. So sometimes people use it to say, well, you know, I promise, you know, as God is my witness, that's a famous Gone with the Wind quote, as God is my witness, I will never be hungry again. But can you impact what is actually going to happen? Jesus calls people out on this. He says in Matthew 5:34, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Don't use the name of God to swear anything, and also don't use it as a swear word. How often is that used in our society? Texting, OMG. I tend to text out, OM goodness. Takes a little longer to type that. But how flippantly we use the name of God, even in our language. One of my theology professors talked a lot about when you say something, say what you mean. Do you really mean, you know, insert expletive, or what, do you mean something else? Be careful about what you're saying. Do you really mean that? When you take it out to its nth degree, what are you really saying when you use a word that is not glorifying to God? Of course, Southerners are really good at coming up with other words for that. Dagnabbit. And I'm sure there are some in Pittsburgh. I haven't heard very many of them. But it's funny, if you look at they one time did a kind of a map of where you hear the word, the D word, or where you hear dang. And dang is only in the South. We do like that word. But are there ways that when we speak that we can use words that mean what we say and bring honor and glory to God versus flippantly using his name and thereby profaning what he is and who he is? Let the siren pass. So when we think about when you use the name of Jesus, are you talking about the person of Jesus? Or are you just flippantly saying a name? We want to as Christians, live out our relationship with God, live out our relationship with Jesus. When I say thank the good Lord, I really mean thank the good Lord. That's out of a heart of gratitude, but don't just flippantly say that. Think about what you're saying. But again, it's not just about the name, the word itself. It's about our behavior. When God uses anything God uses to make himself known, as the catechism says, anything that he uses to make himself known, number one is you all. How are you making God's name known? When one way that you can translate, do not take the Lord's name in vain, you can use the word take, actually can be translated carry. Do not carry the Lord's name in vain. Think about like a battle. When you're carrying the flag of your kingdom into battle, everyone knows that that's who you represent. We are carrying the name of God with us wherever we go. When we call ourselves Christians, we're carrying that name. And people see who God is by the way that we behave. Isn't that intimidating? I one time literally made the decision not to put a fish on my car because I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian driving that way. Yeah, that's a confession. I was trying to drive better, more courteously. It's my turn. But God wants us to carry the name of God in an honorable way. How many times in our society do people use the name of Christian, the name of God, in a way that does not bring God honor? I was talking to a friend of mine one time who had an interaction with a child who had been hurt, treated badly by an adult who claimed to be a Christian. This child was not a Christian. And she said to my friend, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it. Isn't that absolutely heartbreaking? That we can teach children that the name of Christian means mean. It means somebody who doesn't value children by the way that we behave. Or we can teach them, like Wonderful Kingdom Kids does, that the name of Christian means we love little people, we love Jesus, and we know that Jesus loves them, and we want to show that love. How we behave impacts that reputation. I can't stand the prosperity gospel and lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a while where the prosperity gospel is like really big there. And it was very interesting because people who would put the little fish on their ads, this was back in the days of the Yellow Pages, they'd have a little fish on their ad. People learned to not trust them because a lot of those companies would write checks in faith and then bounce them. That was the reputation that they started to get. They were like, oh, God will provide instead of having good business practices. And that is not the reputation that we want to have. That is using the name of the Lord in vain, saying, oh, God will fix all of my problems, but not living an honorable life, not telling the truth, not managing your money in such a way that's not going to exploit someone else. One of the most heartbreaking things we saw was in the last year, the way that Christianity was ripped apart by the far left and the far right. You saw it happening all over. Two of the most nauseating images to me, one from each, one was seeing pastors in front of abortion clinics praying blessings over abortions. That just makes me want to throw up. And on the other side, the image I will never get out of my head is someone carrying a banner that said, Jesus saves, up the Capitol steps on January 6th. That is a profaning of the name of Jesus. That is not who Jesus is. Are we using the name of the Lord in our lives in a way that glorifies God? Jesus, when in Mark 9, talks about it doesn't have to be some grandiose declaration. You don't have to live the life of a, you know, Mother Teresa to bring glory to God's name. He said, if you bring a cup of cold water in my name, something as simple as a cup of cold water in my name, that will glorify the Lord. All we need to do is be faithful and to live out the name of Jesus, the name that he has placed upon us. It doesn't matter whether you're going to work, whether you're going to school, whether you're just in your neighborhood. If people know that you're a Christian, what reputation are they attaching to that? We have to live in such a way that even those who have a bad feeling about the name of Christian go, huh, well, maybe I had that wrong. Maybe love and grace and faithfulness is the true reputation, not what gets portrayed on television. It's easy, though, when we look at our lives and see how many times we mess up, to start to despair. How many times have I not brought glory to God because of the way that I have behaved? It is easy to think God is, his kingdom is never going to flourish because he chose me, and what a mess I am. I saw the funniest meme the other day. I love this, and I've come back to it many times. When God called you, he already factored in your stupidity. When God called you, he already factored in your stupidity. Like, when God called you, he knew that you were weak. He knew that you were broken. He knew all of the besetting sins that you had, but he chose you to carry his name. Isn't that crazy? Like, what God would choose me? What God would choose, I mean, there's all kinds of people. What God would have chosen Paul, the murderer, to carry his name to the entire Roman Empire? But that is the God who chooses even people that he knows are going to mess up over and over and over. He chooses us to bear his name because when we are weak, he is strong. I love that verse. And you know the one about your grace is sufficient for me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul then says, so I would rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That I would rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. No matter how weak we are, that almost shows off God's power even more because he can use a broken vessel like us. The amazing thing is, through Jesus Christ, through the price that he paid on the cross, and through his resurrection, God gives us his name. He gives us a new name. We were once rejected, and now we are adopted children of the Father. We were once nothing, and now we are dearly beloved sons and daughters of a king. In Hosea, the book of Hosea, you may remember the story. God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. And it's this really strange lived-out metaphor. The prostitute goes and gets herself pregnant with someone else, and God names her children for her. He says, then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. And then after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. The Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. How devastating is that? God saying, I reject you because you have rejected me. But that is never the end of the story. In the next chapter, God brings Gomer back to himself and brings Gomer back to Hosea. And then he makes this promise, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one called not my love. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. God takes those of us who are named, we feel like it's tattooed on our forehead, I am not loved. God says, you are loved. Those of us who feel lost and orphaned, God says, you are my child. God repeats that again in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is saying, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you up out of darkness into his light. Hear this. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That is the miracle of God's grace. As often as we have failed to honor his name, as often as we have failed to live out the life that he has called us to live, when we come to the Lord, when we confess our sins, when we lay our burdens down before him, he forgives us our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and he changes our name. We are no longer forsaken. We are no longer forgotten. We are no longer unloved. We are beloved. We are home. I love that it says, that I will plant her myself in the land, and I will show my love to her, the one that was called, I am not loved. God is planting us in his family, in his love, in his grace, no matter how much we mess up. If we come to him and ask for forgiveness, he restores us and grants us his grace. And that is the one whose name is above all names, and at every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, his name, is Lord of heaven and earth. When we want to honor and hallow the name of Jesus, it's because of his grace and his love and his forgiveness, his cleansing power and his transformation. We want to not say his name in vain because his name is so powerful. His name is grace. His name is God of angel armies. His name is God Most High. That is why God transforms us, so that we can be a people not profaning the name of God or trying to manipulate the name of God, but a people who honor the name of God and bring him glory in all that we say and do. Our God has called you, brothers and sisters, his dearly beloved children. And it is in his name that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Let's pray together. Holy God, we do thank you so much for your great name, that at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Lord God, we do pray for your forgiveness for all of the times that we have taken your name and your reputation for granted, that we have used it in idle ways and false ways. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we turn to you now and we lift your name on high. We ask that you would make our lives to be a reflection that we can carry your name into whatever battle we go into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, that as we carry your name, you would be glorified, not by our strength, but by your strength, for your glory, by your power. Holy God, you know those of us who have failed you miserably. And somehow, even in our stupidity, you bring grace and redemption, and we are so grateful for that. Holy God, we pray that you would be able to equip us to bring a cup of cold water in your name to those around us who are living in a desert, who are in a dry and thirsty land. We know that you are the living water. Lord, in your name, give us the strength, the compassion, the love, the joy to be able to share a cup of cold water or a hug or a shoulder to cry on or the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy God, we do lift up those who are struggling right now, those who are sick, who are facing surgery, all of those who need you and call out to your name. Lord, in your name, we claim your peace and your presence and your healing power upon them. Lord, restore these years that the locusts have eaten. Lord, restore your life and your joy and your hope to those who feel lost this morning. Lord God, restore our name. We have put on ourselves names like unloved and forsaken, orphan. But you change our name. You say, I have called you by name. You are mine. Lord, we are yours, and we submit ourselves to you that you would be glorified. And it is as your dearly beloved children that we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.